Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters in Islam, and welcome to another video from iHalaka Productions. I wanted to discuss a framework of thinking that today we have Muslims who look at themselves as practicing Muslims, and I wanted to explore that definition, inshallah. Now, sadly today, when we conjure up in our minds the idea of what it means to be practicing, it usually we're drawn to the idea that we pray, we fast, we observe the halal and haram, we observe the limitations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on us, we observe that we eat from the halal and that we live halal lives, and that we fulfill our obligations in terms of our ibadah. Now, I wanted to actually challenge this definition today, because it seems that there's been a division, or a division of labor rather, where something is my problem and certain issues that concern the Muslims is someone else's problem. And I wanted to discuss that today within two definitions or two phrases. One is to live by Islam, which commonly people use, and another one is to live for Islam. Now, the difference came to my mind really is when over time I've been reading various hadith that the Sahaba used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and question him and ask him questions when they were in need. And the nature of the questions really gave us really some insight into what kind of mentality and what the way the Sahaba really, the way they thought. And it seemed that the way that they were thinking was that here is Akhirah, here is Jannah, here's, you know, life after death, and from here, how do I look at life and what I must do in this life to be in the at the destination I want to be in? And so the questions were usually like, O Prophet of Allah, what can I do for Islam? Or what can I do for the Muslims? What can I do to gain Jannah? What can I do to avoid Jahannam? What can I do before the hour? What can I do before the day of judgment? You know, what can I do to make Islam dominant? What can I do to advance Islam? And, you know, the questions were further, you know, they went further and they said, what can I do with my wealth? What can I sacrifice with what I have? I have wealth. What can I sacrifice for the deen? What can I sacrifice in terms of my life, my livelihood, my wealth, or anything in my possession? What can I give to this deen? And there was a stark contrast between these hadith that, you know, I read and the kind of questions that are asked today and the mindset that those questions indicate. Because I'm not even looking at the answer that the Prophet ﷺ gave in either. But today what you have is fatwa channels or Islamic question and answer programs, where there are various muftis, ulama, or maulanas, where they give out solutions to many of the questions that we ask. And if we investigate, we'll find that majority of the questions revolve around, what can I eat? Can I eat this food? Can I wear these clothes? Can I have this job? Can I own this car? Can I buy this house? Can I marry in this way, under these conditions? What can I have? What can I eat? How can I live? And it seems to me that it's basically our instincts. We're asking questions about our instincts and our desires. and how certain things revolve around those, and how we can have a Sharia compliant way of satisfying these desires. So as to suggest that our purpose in life is to live, eat, sleep, marry, buy, sell, and to do all of those things in a halal way. And that sounded so different to the kind of questions that the Sahaba were asking. That the kind of questions we ask today are about living by Islam. Or sometimes it's to do with salah or wudu. You know, it would be questions regarding tahara or fasting or hajj. But it'll always be around the individual. You rarely get questions on what can I do for the ummah? How can I enjoin the good? How can I forbid the munkar? How can I account the ruler? How can I speak up for the Muslims in Syria? How can I speak up for the Muslims in Iraq? What can I do to help my fellow brothers and sisters? What is the solution from Islam to the problem we are facing here or across the Muslim world? What is the solution from Islam on how to solve the problem of the economic crisis? We don't seem to ask these questions. We seem to leave those questions to be answered by someone else. And it made me think that of the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that we have not created man and jinn for any other purpose but to worship. And to be honest, you know, the definition is given that it's to, you know, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, except to worship, i.e. that our default position is to actually live our lives where all aspects of our lives are practiced in accordance to Islam and therefore as a worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we look at it like this? Do we look at all aspects of our lives as the potential to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I see many Muslims today, we talk about contentment and khushu, and to attain Jannah, to avoid Jahannam. And we talk about these things where we sometimes make those are our ideal, i.e. the thing that we most want. And in fact, these things are objectives. The ideal is to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today those two ideas are mixed. That someone may enjoy the feeling he gets, the spiritual buzz that he gets from going to Taraweeh during the month of Ramadan on the 27th night and cries in repentance and in his worship, you know, and he feels electric when he leaves. But if you tell the brother that maybe we need to go to a demonstration or we need to distribute a pamphlet or put leaflets through people's doors, they think, what is this? I don't feel anything. Is it that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his pleasure, or are we worshipping the buzz that we get from our spiritual acts? And it's this division of labor, sadly, that has happened today that has made us quite unprincipled. And one of the examples I wanted to give is I see many Muslims, especially on Facebook, you know, and on Twitter, always commentating about the football results and whose side they're on. And they would be so principled that they would say, I'm on the side of the Reds. I do not like the Blues. I want the Reds to succeed, whichever team it is. And they will say, I'm a diehard fan. I would die for this team. I would never compromise and go to another team. I would never go to another team or support another team, even if they had a bigger budget for more transfers or to buy better players. Even if I support a better player, at the end of the day, I don't agree with the team. I will not compromise my support and my loyalty to this team by supporting a team that's going to win the cup or to go into the European League. So he would say that, you know what, I'm not a glory hunter. You know, this is like a cardinal sin amongst football fans, that you can't be a glory hunter. But when it comes to elections, I'm red today, I'm blue tomorrow. Let's vote for the best player in the worst team, or the team that is worse for the Muslims. Or let's vote for the better team via voting for the worst guy within that team. We switch teams, we switch players. And these MPs, they're like that. They become independents and they join smaller parties and they take the votes. And then when they do well, the bigger teams buy them up and they return back to those at a higher fee, at a higher price. And they buy and sell players like they buy and sell MPs. And yet when it comes to football, we'll never compromise. Subhanallah. And yet when it comes to MPs, we will switch between one party and another because we're seeking the benefit. And this is a strange thing, that when it comes to such a menial thing as football, which is a mubah, nothing issue, that we are so stringent on our principles. But when it comes to Islam, when it comes to life's affairs, we compromise very easily because of the supposed benefit. If I were to tell you that, look, let's support this team that you hate or that you dislike, purely because it will knock out another team, yeah, the equivalent to the BNP party, though I don't think they're very good at football, that this team will, you know, will prevent my team from doing well, so let's support another team. People would not want to support another team. They will stick to the football team. They say, I'm Reds for life. Subhanallah, this is one of the problems that we have as Muslims today, that when we look at Islam, we don't look at Islam for life. We look at Islam just for our lives, that we live by Islam, we eat halal, but we don't want to concern ourselves with the problems that the Muslims face around the world. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a verse, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةِ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَإِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُّبِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, that's us, enter into Islam, enter into Islam completely. The two words here are kafah and silm. He does not say enter into Islam, he says enter into silm. And silm means to submit or submission. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, O you who believe, enter into submission completely. This means that we do not take one part and we say one part of Islam to practice it is easy. When the Prophet, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hashr, where he says that to obey, take what the messenger has given you and what he and whatever he has forbidden you, to stay away from it. This verse, the context of this verse was actually to do with the spoils of war, or the land that is reclaimed under the war. And that which one of the, is this land redistributed amongst the Sahaba, or is it kept as part of the, if, is the land that is claimed after jihad as part of the state's funds? But in the verse it says, whatever the Prophet gives you, not what the Prophet gives you. And whatever the Prophet forbids you from, that you should stay away from. Which means that every single thing the Prophet ﷺ said that we must enjoin in, we must have, fi silmi kaffah. We must be submissive and submit to it completely. Whereas today what we have is that we look at a certain commandment in Islam and we say, I think this is too difficult, I don't need to do this. And I find this other task easy, so I'll take this. We pick and we choose. This is completely at odds. Rather, in conclusion, living by Islam and living for Islam is to, yes, to live our lives in accordance with the Sharia, but also to make sure that we are striving to make Allah's deen dominant on this earth.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.